know that that music means we're about to start talking technical analysis, and it's always a good day when I get to chat with Buck Clintworth. He is Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel. If you want to learn more, chaseinv.com. He is one of the managers on Chase Growth, C-H-A-S-X, and Chase Midcap Growth, C-H-A-M-X. Again, if you want more information, chaseinv.com. Buck Clintworth, good to talk with you again.
Thanks for having me back.
Always a pleasure to chat with you. And the market, well, it's gotten to where it maybe defied gravity a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, it was testing, you know, the S&P was testing that 2800 level, 2770, which had been support. And it looked like it was going to break through, and people thought there will be your leg down. And nope, it managed to climb away from that and get back to where we've been at record highs. But now we've been meeting a little bit of resistance at record highs. So are we going to be able to hold this, or are we about to take a step back?
Well, you know, when we talked at the end of the first quarter, the market had just about recovered all the ground that it had lost in the fourth quarter of 2018. You know, the 50-day and 200-day moving averages were heading up. And, you know, the big concerns at that time were things like inverted yield curves and trade wars. So here we are 3 months later, and what do we have? We have concerns over inverted yield curves and trade wars and rising 50-day and 200-day moving averages. Now, that may be oversimplifying things a bit, but we're in much the same situation we were then. What you've seen happen over the last 3 months was the market go up in April, sell off in May, and then recover those losses in June. Now, I've said before that in a healthy bull market, which we're in, short-term pullbacks are inevitable, and you use those as buying opportunities. Hopefully your listeners didn't panic in May, and they either stayed the course or took advantage of that buying opportunity.
So May was a buying opportunity. June was a gloating opportunity if you were buying in May. Is any sort of downturn we see right now, again, just kind of that buying opportunity? I mean, nothing here has you nervous that we've got to take some sort of big breather?
Well, you know, I've alluded to the fact that the bull market's healthy, but, you know, let's look at some of the technical indicators that might be of concern, things to keep an eye on. You know, the market's had a nice run this year, so it's not surprising that a couple momentum indicators, the relative strength index and the moving average convergence divergence, or MACD, are bullish. You know, but because of the run-up in the market, overbought conditions are beginning to develop. You know, that relative strength index is near the technically overbought 70 reading. S&P is roughly 8% above its 200-day moving average, which is its highest level since March of 2018. You know, so that's the downside of the stock market going up. And if that was the worst you could say, I think everyone would be happy with that. But there have been some negative divergences that it's important to be aware of. About 80% of the S&P 500 stocks are trading above their 50-day moving averages, which is up from 50% a month ago. And that's good, but we're at all-time highs. So you should see a large number of stocks confirming that. But in the S&P, the percentage of stocks posting 52-week highs in the first week of July only reached 17%. And that's a level not commensurate with a record high rally. You know, the market's acting well, but it does seem that it's gotten a little ahead of itself.
So this is where the term correction is properly used. I hate the word correction as it's most often used, which is it's most often used as a decline, to describe a decline where, you know, the market got ahead of itself, and so it's correcting when it goes down, which means that the market would be incorrect when it goes up. But this, what you're calling for would therefore be the market has gotten ahead of itself. This is where a correction would be in the offing. But which of those other indicators that you were talking about is the one that we think would represent what we're going to see? Like that S&P being roughly 8% above its 200-day moving average. Does that mean that the 200-day moving average and like an 8% declined, that's a correction here, or is it something worse than that?
Well, you know, if you look at key support levels right now, the S&P has support around 2950 and 2900, with last gas support where the 200-day moving averages, which is around 2775. So maybe you're talking about downside of up to 6 or 7%. You know, something to look at more long-term. You know, we're in the midst of an interminable presidential campaign. So there's undoubtedly going to be certain industries that will come under fire as the latest whipping boy of the week. But for those who don't want to get whipsawed in and out of the market, one thing to keep an eye on is 3,000 points. And what the S&P does is it approaches that level. You know, the 3,000 is more of a psychological threshold than a purely technical one. So perhaps investors' hopes will be buoyed if the S&P breaks through and stays above that level.
As we get to through the rest of this year, you know, the standard historical advice is sell in May and go away, which hopefully people did not do because, as you pointed out, May was a buying opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to look at between now and the end of the year, a year in which if you could shut it off right now and lock in the gains, most people would be like, yep, that was great. Thanks. Can I have another?
Yeah.
Right? When that's how good we are as we turn into the second half of the year, what's your expectation in terms of what we're going to see by the time you and I are talking at year's end?
Well, yeah, normally when I forecast what's going to happen in the market, I confine myself to the next 3 to 6 months, which would take us to the end of the year. And if you look at that time period, the overall technicals are still strong in the market, so my advice would be stay the course, keep an eye on 3,000 for the S&P. But, you know, I'll give your listeners something to keep in mind for the next 18 months, taking them all the way to the end of 2020. You know, you've got 24 voices running for president on one side, a Twitter account with over 61 million followers on the other side. There's going to be a lot of noise for the next year and a half. You know, if you have to get on Twitter, try to confine yourself to checking out Chuck Jaffe and the Money Life show. You know, but do your best to ignore the noise that has nothing to do with the market and focus on the technicals.
Well, we will be watching the news and sadly probably having to parse through the noise, but it's great advice. I mean, if you can stay focused on what's important over the next year and a half, again, as you point out, the market may have some ups and downs, but they'll mostly be buying opportunities. Really interesting, Buck. Always great to chat with you. I look forward to checking in with you before we get to the end of the year and we see where we're at as we head into the last 12 months of the election cycle.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's Buck Clintworth, everybody. He is Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel. ChaseInv.com is the website to learn more about Chase Growth, CHASX, and Chase Midcap Growth, CHAMX.